Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Lori Leiker from Small Biz Coaching. I'm a small business coach focusing on business operations, human resources, and process improvement. And we have today as guests Megan Anderson and Raquel Roberts from Burble Time. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You guys have an amazing concept that you've come up with, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But first of all, you both have worked in other businesses, setting them up and getting them up and running before. What is it about starting your own business that intrigued you enough that you go out and start your own business after setting up businesses for other people?
So this is Megan. I'll kind of start that off and speak on that. That was kind of always my plan. I put myself in positions to understand every aspect of businesses. I've worked my way up strategically through Sprint and Whitaker Medical, and learned everything, all the moving parts, every type of employee, the benefits, and how to understand all of it. So it just seemed like the right time, the right idea came along. We saw a certain market niche that wasn't being touched. Some personal things as well played into that. So everything, it was just kind of the perfect storm of everything at the time to create it.
So everything just kind of fell into place the way you wanted to.
Exactly. It was just everything just fell and was perfect.
Awesome. So what is your venture right now?
So we are focused on accelerating the coaching industry, and by coaching, we mean every specialty. So we've broken it down into health and wellness, professional and personal growth. We work with coaches on every level, so nutritionists, fitness, full gyms, executive, sales, family coaching, things such as ADHD coaching, anything and everything in between. We are passionate about supporting those coaches in their growth. There's no solution out there for them right now to help bridge over to full-time work or platforms to help grow their brand or even interact with clients and collect data, right? So that was our main focus, was to mm-hmm. help coaches grow. In return, we also want to make it scalable to the average person, right? So it's kind of this ecosystem of client and coach interaction. So we offer this platform fully equipped. They can interact with all of their clients. It has data collection that will track best practices for coaches, idea demographics. It has social media integrated into it. We'll also log their hours and verify them. We also offer them supplemental income. So how we do that kind of comes on the client side of things. So we then go to clients, companies of all sorts, industries, and we sell blocks of streamlined hours. So we will sell an hour for $70, and we will identify, okay, we want this person to have nutritional coaching. So then we will have an algorithm through our platform that matches them to an ideal coach. So that's also how we give them supplemental income. And it's scalable because we've given these coaches this solution for free. We're then able to negotiate these lower prices and make it accessible to the average person, the average consumer. We do scale everything, though, from the average employee all the way up to full outings, complete office coaching together. It is done a little bit differently, but we can support all of that, and we do.
So with what you have in mind, Raquel, what is it that you guys are looking for in terms of being able to expand coaching? A lot of people, when you talk to them, they know fitness coaches, they know nutrition coaches, but they don't know the rest of it. How is it that you're planning on promoting coaching through Burble Time, in addition to what Megan was saying?
So what we found really works in our specific situation and kind of what we're doing with our company is going in and explaining and talking with them about any kind of trouble, any departments that they're having trouble in. And it's actually pretty unique. Megan and I were just discussing the other day that when we go in and we talk about, you know, health and fitness programs with them and implementing that type of coaching for their employees, you start to see a lot of people come up front and go, well, you know, that's definitely, you know, some trouble we're having with our employees, and their time management stems kind of from that as well as stress and life-work balance. But you have some other people from other departments and within companies speak up and say things along the lines of, you know, actually, our sales could use some coaching as well. Or, you know, our human resources, we just hired on somebody new on that team and we don't really have the time to train them ourselves. And if we do, it kind of takes away from what we do day to day within, you know, their rules. So sometimes they need training for, you know, human resources as well. So it's kind of funny to see how it all just works itself out. We really don't have to push other kinds of coaching onto them. They start to find themselves that they're having trouble in other areas as well besides just health and fitness. They kind of open up to us and lead us into those conversations. So right now, it's not something that we've really been trying to push and make them aware that there is different types of coaching and training. It seems like they've been kind of figuring that out themselves while we're having the conversations with them. So. And then, of course, we go into the conversation of, well, you know, we do have tons and tons of sales coaches and trainers. And then on top of that, we have a bunch of tech trainers and social media coaches and, you know, HR coaches. And so that's kind of where where we come in and where we inform them.
Okay. How do you when you go to a company, for instance, and start talking to them about bringing coaches in, how do you describe the difference between coaches and consultants?
So that's kind of a tricky part right now that we're still identifying because of the fact that consultants, they kind of overlap, right? So our platform actually supports, we categorize them as coaches, but our library actually spans everything from counselors to consultants to psychologists, right? What we like to say is it's just a little bit more of a personable experience, right? A consultant's going to come in and they're going to look at the numbers, they're going to look at the hard data, and that's going to be it. You're going to get a big binder of a solution that they think would work. A coach is going to get in there, they're going to get their hands dirty, they're going to work with the employees on a one-to-one basis, and they're going to get an understanding of the deep root of where everything is going, right? That's kind of what companies need, really, whether they know it or not, but they don't necessarily understand that that's what a coach does versus a consultant, right? So that's probably going to be the biggest difference that we push.
Okay. It sounds like when people come to Burble Time, they're going to know pretty much what they're getting ahead of time, you know, because you've already laid that groundwork. How do you help companies then educate their employees? Or, for instance, I know with the nutrition coaches and whatnot, you'll be working with doctor's offices and medical practices to get coaches for their patients. How do you then educate the patients or the employees on coaching? Is that up to the company, the doctors, or will you be providing some assistance with that?
So it'll be all of that. We'll have to utilize all of those solutions in on it. We will, depending on the size of the company, the demographic, we may get in there and have, you know, a conference call with them, explain everything, how, you know, we maximize results for them and why we're doing this in the end. We'll use all of that. And the nutritionists and the coaches will actually have a really big job in doing that as well.
Okay, so everybody's kind of pitching in to make sure that everyone's on the same page, knows what the expectations are and whatnot. That's
yes.
fantastic. But this isn't the first company that you guys have, or the first business entity that you guys have put together. What are some of the things that you've learned in the past that you've brought forward to Burbleton that you found surprising in the beginning that now you were anticipated coming into Burbleton?
So the biggest thing with our business strategy is going to be balancing the coaches' development and the client development, right? We took that from mm-hmm. our previous building a division for a previous company. That was, we built an ER division. We had to bring doctors in and bring clientele in at the same time, which are two separate recruiting and sales positions. So balancing the development properly on that and not growing too fast in one area, that was probably the most beneficial thing that we learned developing the division in our last position.
Mm-hmm.
And then
anything in addition to that?
So that's kind of, there's a lot of things, right? Finding the right fit as well. Coming from a big corporate company, you're not necessarily going to build the team that would be ideal for you. So that's something that we've taken. We're very, very picky about who we bring on to our team as well to make sure that they have the same vision and that they're as passionate about it as we are, and it's just not a 9-to-5 job for them, right? Of course, there's always the financials mm-hmm. and the strategy and things that we've learned. That we imply, but those two are probably the most beneficial.
Okay. As I'm looking at Burbleton and I've been watching it grow, and in fairness, I must state that I am one of the advisors. I'm on the advisory board for Burbleton. One of the things that I'm really impressed with is the way that you use social media to promote it. As you start to grow, as you build the business and start to grow, what is it about social media that you find is so attractive to those that would be interested in Burbleton?
So social media, since we are a tech startup and we have set, obviously a very clear understanding of technology and because of our platform and what we've created, a lot of the people that we kind of bring in or have interest, especially on the coaches' end, they have a lot of interest with having more of an online presence, and our platform is a good way for them to be able to do that. It's not entirely too hard to catch their attention with social media. A lot of the time, Megan and I, we will put a lot of things online that we know they'll have interest in, or any type of blogs. We have a person who writes for us currently right now, and we upload a lot of blogs that they also use and they share within their own Instagram accounts. A lot of coaches right now, they use Instagram to catch attention of potential clients to train. They, a lot of the time, will upload some of our blogs, anything that we've written, or any type of videos that we have done in the past. So it's not really trying to catch their attention and get them more involved with any social media that Burbleton has or any type of interaction in that aspect. It's more just keeping up with it and making sure that we create a buzz. The one thing that we always mm-hmm. got pushed to do from the get-go was just making sure that we create a buzz, that we're constantly out there, that we don't go a day without trying to inform or post something, I guess you could say. It's just all about creating that buzz, getting people excited, and then it kind of, believe it or not, it kind of does it for itself. You just have to get people excited about what you're doing. And our coaches, that's one aspect of the business where they're a lot of the excitement for Burbleton comes from. So it's great. I mean, social media has definitely been super beneficial to Burbleton, but something Megan and I definitely had to implement to even start getting ourselves out there, making ourselves known, was creating that buzz and making people excited about what we're doing.
When you're talking to others who are either new to social media or new in business, what kinds of things would you recommend to them in terms of advice, tips? You had said consistency. Is consistency really important?
So I guess if I was going to be talking to somebody about who wasn't exactly, you know, who you didn't see as tech savvy or was trying to grow their business with social media, I think consistency is good because a lot of the time people see it as maybe the business having some type of credibility or establishing what they, you know, call a following. So I think consistency is good. Do I think it's necessary every single day? Not entirely. I do think, though, it's good for anybody who has any interest within your with your company or any interest in you in general. I think it's good to have any of those people see that you also have interest in them and informing them about anything that's going on with your company. And social media is a good way to get it out there as a whole. I mean, you know, you click a couple of buttons and it's now public for everyone to see, but I think it's good to have a really good online presence because to me, these days, with how technology is, if you can't establish a good online presence, I'm not really sure you should venture off and, you know, open up another company out there, or another location, I should say.
And actually, I would like to, this is Megan, I'd actually like to add something on the business end of things. Raquel definitely handles the social media and marketing side of things. But I think that it is a good avenue, especially for startups with very low finances. You know, we're bootlegging everything together. It has really helped in identifying our market. We were able to see how coaches are marketing and selling themselves online. We were also able to connect with them, figure out key issues, build those relationships in the masses instead of having to go one by one to them. It was also ideal for us to reach out to companies in the same way, get an idea of our competition as well, what they're doing good, and get kind of, we really integrated that and the things that we figured out from social media into our strategy, into our platform. And how we would utilize the way for instance, Instagram is really big for fitness coaches, right? So we figured out they post a lot of their stuff on there. We figured out how we would be able to implement those kind of solutions into our site. So, and that's all on the business end, not even necessarily the advertising end. Just be the data that we were able to collect in strategizing was key with social media.
What do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that companies make using social media?
So I would say maybe giving the wrong message. I think that I don't like to use this word because I think, you know, statistically speaking, it does take 7 times of reaching out to somebody to get their attention, right? But I don't think that companies, especially older companies, are educated in how to properly use social media, and so it can become an annoyance. I know for myself that's a really big thing, getting harassed with advertisements and sales pitches constantly, right? It's a really impersonable way, but it is a way. I don't want to tell companies don't do that because I push my salespeople to utilize every avenue, right? But in a tactful way, in a right way. And there is data out there, and there people have written articles and done studies on the best way to utilize it, and people just don't educate themselves on that to maximize it, and so it hinders them.
Do you think that a lot of companies are missing the social part of social media, the engagement with those that are following them?
So I would have to look at the statistics on that. I couldn't really give the proper answer. It depends, you know, what kind of industry it is, what demographic they're trying to reach out to, right? So certain people, certain age demographics utilize Facebook, certain age demographics utilize Instagram, things like that. So that's not really necessarily something I can touch on, but I will say, I will go back to the point that how they're using it, you know, would probably be the issue because they don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that there's a lot of complaint about social media, that what Twitter used, specifically Twitter, what it used to be, it's not what it used to be, is what a lot of people
right.
are saying. It's not, doesn't feel like you can really have the ongoing conversation. Some would disagree, but for the most part now it's just companies throwing stuff out there, and if you catch it, great. If you can't catch it, then you're in trouble.
I totally agree with that. I actually, it was my mission, this is Megan, it was my mission to understand and kind of conquer Twitter. Actually, that was my job. I took that upon myself, and I could not agree with you more on that. Especially larger companies, they utilize it a lot more, and probably tech startups do as well, which is good for the tech startups to get their name out there. I have made some good connections on Twitter, but I do it very, very tactfully, and I do it by just giving out information. I'm not actively reaching out and harassing people. And I'm doing, and the tweets that I do send out are beneficial, right? So I'll send out statistics, you know, advice, things like that. And I seem to get a lot more traction and a lot more interest and likes from that, from going on that approach. But I couldn't agree with you more on the Twitter argument.
And I've been trying to use Twitter the same way I use LinkedIn with, as you say, pieces of valuable information that people can really use, and then try to start a conversation based on those bits of information. And so having the conversation is what will make people remember you. But if you're a company and you're just throwing stuff on social media and not trying to engage in conversation, you're losing the point of social media.
Exactly. If you're not offering someone a benefit, then honestly, they're not going to interact with you. So I think that that's key that they miss out on as well. Like, people want something, right? They need something to catch their attention. And generally, on social media and something that tweets are going out, you know, thousands a second, it's going to be something that they need to be able to relate to, a pain point, a happy point, something, right? Not an advertisement, not some, you know, not some annoying advertisement as far as that goes. So
how do you find the content that you're going to post? What resources do you use for content?
So via like that I post on Twitter or social media?
Just in general or on social media.
Okay, so a big part of what I'm doing right now is actually I blog about my current experience and things that I'm going through, right? Starting this tech startup. So that's, I get it from myself. I have my own little blog about that. As far as statistics, we go to blogs, studies as well. That's something that we do. You know, we talk to you and we get statistics, and we'll send that information out and tag you in it as well. So just kind of all around, the one thing that I am a stickler on is making sure that it's all verifiable. I never just send out, unless it's my blogs, I never send out information that is not proven and that these people can't Google and verify themselves. And I usually try to tag whoever I got that information from in the post as well.
Mm-hmm. I know for some, and myself included, we use things like News 360 and Feedly to get news feeds on specific business areas, and then use that information as well as original posts for posting onto social media for content. And it seems to work really well when you're trying to do things that are popular. So, for instance, it's difficult to find articles in general media about coaching, but it's not difficult to find information about building a business, for instance.
Yeah,
and so I could see where some of that might be difficult for you guys.
Yeah, you definitely have to sift through. So if you know me, I'm constantly looking at articles. I'm constantly reading articles, right? I'm constantly looking at blogs and things like that. So I am picking out those types of things. Industry-specific magazines, industry-specific blogs, that's another good avenue. Don't just kind of try to look in general. If you go to, you know, membership and association-based statistics, education is a really big one for us. So we actually had to go in, and I have to Google, you know, educational coaching, you know, and look specifically through those articles to that specific industry. So I do mm-hmm. see what you're coming from on that.
Mm-hmm. It's just difficult to try and find all of the content if you really want to be consistent and you want to be able to pull in the most number of people who would be your target market. It's difficult to create enough content from scratch if you don't use other resources.
If we don't what? I'm sorry?
If you don't use other resources other than your own blog and things like that.
It's impossible, and we don't, you know, and that's the thing is anyone who tries to say that they know everything, it means that they don't know anything, right? So you always have to be working and networking and reading other articles and points of views and studies and industry-specific magazines to be able to get that and kind of put it all together, which is kind of, you know, what Burbl Time wanted to do. We're a one-stop shop for all of that, so we want to be that single place that people can come and get that information from.
Now, on Burbl Time, will people be able to, in addition to finding coaches, will they also be able to access materials and videos and books and things that the coaches have to offer?
Absolutely. So we kind of have two different ways of being able to do that, or three, I guess. So we will be posting and finding things, right, and we'll categorize it appropriately. Our coaches will have the capability of being able to post public blogs and articles and trainings and stuff. But also we want to be able to make their business, right? We don't want people to be able to get everything for free. We want them, our coaches, to also be able to make income on this as well. So they'll also have private blogs and articles and things. So we'll have three different avenues as far as that goes.
Well, that sounds fantastic. When do you anticipate launching Burbl Time? I know it's in beta right now.
Yeah. So I am told that we will be launching beta in the next 7 to 10, or out of beta in the next 7 to 10 days. And what I mean is live. We will be going live in the next 7 to 10 days.
That just sounds fantastic. I cannot wait to see the finished product. Thank you very much, Megan Anderson and Raquel Roberts, for being with us today on the show. And we wish you every success with Burbl Time. As we've been talking to both Megan and Raquel, you can see that consistency, outside sourcing, and engagement are three of the top things that, as a business, you need to focus on when you're using social media. Well, speaking of social media, I'm Lori Leiker with Small Biz Coaching. You can find me on Twitter at Small Biz Coach TX. You can find me on Facebook at Small Biz Coaching. And my website is smallbizcoaching.net. We hope you join us next week. We'll have another exciting guest. And thank you so much for listening. This is Blog Talk Radio, Small Biz Talk Radio Network.